You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
It's over! It's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again! The Cavaliers are NBA champions!
From the Quicken Loan Studios in Houston, Texas, here's your host, 6'1" former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, good evening, and welcome inside the Quicken Loan Studios here in Houston. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell, and you know what? We've got another big night of college football and NFL talk on our program over the next 2 hours, and it is time. We're going to roll up our sleeves. We're going to get after it, head out to the SEC, and zero in on the defending national champions. That, of course, is the Alabama Crimson Tide. We're delighted to welcome in on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. That is the voice of the Crimson Tide, Eli Gold, and the author of his new book, Crimson Tide, The Shaping of the South's Most Dominant Football Team. And all I have to say is, Eli, this is such an honor to have you on the program, and I feel like we need to start off this segment with queuing up some song from the 70s, Three Dog Night. Eli yep. is coming.
I got you. Good to be on with you. And by the way, when if you have Nick Saban on the show one night, don't ever say that Alabama is the defending national champion, because he'll jump all over you. The University of Alabama is, as an entity, is the reigning national champion.
Okay, I stand corrected.
I don't mean to correct you. It's just an interesting point here.
Yeah.
He will point out that the defending national championship team no longer exists. That team's been busted up. You know, guys are in the NFL, and that's one of his real interesting little foibles. He says, this team is not the defending national title.
Yeah.
The university is the reigning champion, but that team no longer exists. So just a quick note as to what goes through Nick Saban's mind when he sits down and does interviews.
Well, he's got to be feeling good. Four national championships in, the past 7 years. He knows how to get it done, doesn't he?
He does. He is just remarkable. It really, you know, I've been blessed to work with every coach in Alabama since Bill Curry back in 1988. And, you know, everybody does things their own way. You know, Gene Stallings won his national title doing it his way. So everybody's different, and different doesn't make it wrong. Different makes it different. But Nick Saban is the most focused human being, a motivator beyond all motivators. I have never, and you know, the interesting thing is, too, he is not an old man at 64, but he is not 44. You know, he's not 34.
Right.
And he's dealing with these kids who are in high school as, you know, as recruits, and, you know, 17, 18-year-old. It's amazing to watch him deal with the youth of today. It's just remarkable, not to mention his X's and O's and his ability to recruit and his ability to bring in great coaches. He really, you know, clearly, well, certainly in my book and anybody else who looks at the world through crimson-colored glasses, he is certainly the very best coach in college football, and maybe, you know, though you'll get arguments from others, maybe the greatest coach in college football history. He's just unbelievable.
You are listening to the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, play-by-play voice. That, of course, is the legendary Eli Gold. He is joining us for the very first time tonight at SB Nation Radio. Go to our website at sbnationradio.com. And so, Alabama, they begin the 2016 season where it left off in January, and that means they are at the top of the college football rankings. It is truly, Eli, it's another big season of expectations, and they are reloaded, ready to go after that national championship. What are some of your early observations? I know they lost a number of key players, but can you give us a sense of what we can expect?
Well, you know, yes, they did lose a lot of key players, and you know, everybody says, oh, Alabama's going to have a first-year quarterback, basically, again, even if it's Cooper Bateman. You know, he's played on a limited basis over the years. But what Bama really lost was that magnificent starting center, Ryan Kelly, who's now snapping the football to Andrew Luck with the Indianapolis Colts.
You bet.
You know, I don't care who you talk to. You can go all the way back to Bear Bryant and beyond. I don't care who you're speaking with. Coaches will tell you that if you want to be competitive and you want to win regularly, you've got to have an All-American center. And, you know, Ryan Kelly is gone. Alabama now has a young man by the name of Ross Pierce-Baker, who started all of the games last year, but in other spots on the offensive line. Now he is at center. Very talented young man, but, you know, it's a new spot for him, basically. So the offensive line is going to be somewhat of an eye-opener. Cam Robinson is back at left tackle. But, you know, you got a new right tackle as of what we're seeing in practice, a young man named Jonah Williams who's doing very well. You've got Bradley Bozeman, who has played guard and center on a limited basis in the past. He'll be, you know, right now working at right guard ahead of Alphonse Taylor. You got a new guy at left guard who only played, I believe, in four games last year, Lester Cotton. So that's going to be the big key. Bama's got, I would say, the finest receiving core in America. They've got outstanding tight ends, running backs by the bushel, and a defensive unit that is just spectacular. But it's going to be interesting to see whomever is at quarterback, how that person functions behind a somewhat new and rebuilt offensive line.
The Crimson Tide were picked by the media to win the SEC for the third straight season. So tell me this, Eli, what do you think is going to be the key to avoid a letdown and not being able to meet these national championship expectations?
There's not going to be a letdown because Nick Saban doesn't allow that to happen.
Okay.
Now, does that mean you're going to win the title? No. You never know. You never know. In 2010, I will submit to you that that was the best team that Alabama has had in the Nick Saban era, bar none. That team lost three ball games because they did not improve from week one to week two to week 12 and so on. So you just never know when you're dealing with young people. But, the team is strong. You know, people forget last year, you know, Calvin Ridley, the great wide receiver last year, caught 89 passes. He began the year as a backup to Robert Foster, who got hurt. And now Foster is back. So, you know, it's a talented team, but does that, nothing automatically translates into championships. And, of course, when you're dealing with the SEC West, you've got, you know, Ole Miss and their great quarterback, Chad Kelly.
Yeah.
And you got to play at Oxford, and you got to play at Arkansas, you got to play at Tennessee, you got to play at LSU, not to mention home games against Auburn and Mississippi State and Texas A&M. And then you throw in the season opener against Southern Cal in Arlington. I mean, this is just a brutal, brutal schedule. If you get through this, you deserve to win the whole thing.
The voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Eli Gold, is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio. You're tuning into the Big E Sports Show, and I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We're going to shift gears and shine the spotlight on Eli's new book, which is titled Crimson Nation, The Shaping of the South's Most Dominant Football Team. Anxious to hear about the book, but before we highlight it, what's your experience been like? You've been the play-by-play voice for the past 30 years. What's it like having the best seat in the house?
It's been unbelievable, obviously. As they will always tell you, particularly when you're working for a particular team or a university, you know, whether it's pro or college, you're always a better broadcaster if you have a good story to tell.
That's right.
You know, if your team wins, you're a better broadcaster. It's just automatic. So I've been very blessed, you know, to be, this is the 29th year now of doing the games, and the team has gone to 22 bowl games in those 29 years. I've been blessed to call 5 national championship games and be on the winning side for all 5 of those. So it's really remarkable, it is. And the passion here, and when you've got to explain, because a lot of the folks listening to your show, whether they're right there in Houston or on a national basis, you know, in our state, in the state of Alabama, you know, we don't have the NBA, we don't have the NFL, we don't have the NHL, we don't have Major League Baseball. In our state, yes, you have the Talladega Super Speedway for a couple of NASCAR races a year, but exclusive of that, college football is king mm-hmm. in the state of Alabama. With all due respect to my friends on the basketball side, you know, people talk about college football 365 days a year because the other sports, there are no sports within our boundaries. And so the state is consumed by that. So to have the best seat in the house and be with such a successful, proud university has been it's been a great honor, and it's been wonderful.
The voice of the Crimson Tide, Eli Gold. Go out and get a copy of his new book, Crimson Nation, The Shaping of the South's Most Dominant Football Team. We should have scheduled 2 segments with you, Eli. I promise. Open invitation. We would love, absolutely love, to have you back right here at SB Nation Radio.
Alyssa, call me anytime. I'd be glad to join you.
Thank you, sir. Much more coming your way right here in hour number 1 at SB Nation Radio. You stay close.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans Studios at the all-new SB Nation Radio. We want to encourage you to check out our website, sbnationradio.com, as, hey, we have got you covered, and this is certainly a very exciting time of the year as we gear up for the start of the 2016 NFL season. Tonight, the New York Jets, they're on the road at Washington in their second preseason game, and joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, always a biggie favorite, that is Christian Dyer, who covers the New York Jets for the Metro New York newspaper. Also, he's an analyst on MSG. Good evening, Christian.
Happy weekend, Alyssa. Happy weekend.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to embrace that. I just want the rain to stay away. So we've just been getting hit really hard down here in Houston, but I know that you're going to bring some sunshine and rainbows. So talk to us about your Jets as we get set for kickoff tonight against the Redskins. What has been the focus for them over the past week? What are they looking to improve upon after that preseason game number 1?
Yeah, when you look at this Jets team, I think it's a team still kind of looking for its identity. On the offensive side of the ball, having Ryan Fitzpatrick back was certainly a good thing. Being able to see him going out there, finding the targets. I mean, they have such big names on the offensive side of the ball. When you look at a Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker last year, second-round pick Devin Smith coming on board and kind of adding a little bit into the slot. But I think it's the defensive side of the ball, which has been the bread and butter of this Jets team for so long, that's still kind of looking to see who they are. They had a big loss this offseason in free agency. Damon Harrison went
right
across town, went to the New York Giants. I mean, this was a guy who I think last year was quite frankly robbed of not being a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro selection. He's that good, that dominant in the middle of the defensive line. And Muhammad Wilkerson coming back from a week 17, a very serious injury that kept him out for most of the offseason. They got him on board with a long-term contract, which was much needed, but he's still not back fully 100%. He may not play this preseason game, this second game. So it's a unit right now that's also without Antonio Cromartie, who's been with them for 4 of the last 5 years, only leaving 2 seasons ago for the Arizona Cardinals for a single season. So there are some question marks for the first time in a long time on the defensive side of the ball. And I want to see if this unit can actually come out, gel. We don't see a lot of exotic blitzing or special sub packages in preseason, but is this a unit that looks like it's going to be better than a defense that was expected to be dominant last year, but Alyssa was a little disappointing in 2015?
Okay, Christian Dyer with the Metro New York newspaper is joining us tonight at SB Nation Radio. Check us out online at sbnationradio.com. You're listening to the Big E Sports Show. So you're talking about who's gone, who's here with the Jets. So what are overall just the expectations in going into this 2016 season? I mean, are the Jets close? Are they a long ways away from a accomplishing their goals?
Well, this time last year, we were talking about a team that was 4-12. Jets fans were just hoping to be relevant, to be 500. In week 17, they went up to Buffalo, win, they're in, they make the playoffs, and they fell flat in what was probably Ryan Fitzpatrick's worst game in his season with the Jets last year. But I certainly think that this is a team closer to being a playoff team than they are to being a team in need of rebuilding. They're veterans. We've talked about Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Nick Mangold on the offensive line, Ryan Clady, who they brought in during the offseason. Defensively, you have a Darrell Revis, a David Harris, who is a very underrated middle linebacker, Muhammad Wilkerson, Sheldon Richardson, who's a Pro Bowl caliber defensive end. I mean, they've got a lot of names. What they also have is a brutal first 7-8 games to start the year. I mean, this is a team that is going to struggle to even have maybe 3 wins by week 7, I think. That's how tough it is when you look at the fact that they're playing at Arizona, that they're playing a slate of difficult games, and they don't even have the Tom Brady-less New England Patriots in the first 4 weeks like they usually do. So they can't even line up an easy win against their AFC East rival. So it is going to be tough for the Jets, I think, to be playoff contenders this year if they don't handle things and take care of things in the first 6 to 7 weeks of the year, which to me, quite frankly, is a very low threshold. If they're 500 by the time week 8 rolls around, I think this could be a playoff team, something we haven't been able to say about the Jets since 2010.
Okay, so do you hold the belief that Ryan Fitzpatrick can duplicate the type of season that he had last year with 31 touchdowns?
Well, he might have a better offensive line than he had last year. DeBrickashaw Ferguson has retired, but will probably be a member of the Jets' Ring of Honor. But last year, he was a revolving door at left tackle, really struggled with the edge rush. So I think when you're looking at where the Jets are right now as an offensive line, they'll be improved. The talent they have at their disposal as well. We've mentioned now Brandon Marshall how many times this interview? I think we're at 3. Decker as well. Devin Smith. He has some really good talent at his disposal. He also has third-year tight end Jason Morrow, who was out for the entirety of last year with an injury. He's not going to be a Rob Gronkowski, but this guy has some potential to be a good, solid receiving tight end in the NFL. The potential is there, I think, for Ryan Fitzpatrick to throw for over 4,000 yards and to have something similar to 31 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, which he had last year. All the pieces are there, and Fitzpatrick, the most cerebral quarterback in the NFL, has no issues at all with ball placement and accuracy. So I don't think the offense is going to be the question mark for the Jets this year. It's going to be the defense.
Hey, we're talking about the New York Jets with Metro New York newspaper Christian Dyer right here at SB Nation Radio. Only a few more minutes. Talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick, why do you think his contract dispute, why it dragged on for so long? And also, I mean, were you a bit concerned, having some anxiety that perhaps he might not re-sign with the Jets?
Well, what other options did Ryan Fitzpatrick have by, early June? I think it became clear that it was going to be the Jets, or he was going to sit out and wait and see if a starting quarterback position opened up due to injury. And when you look at what's happened in the past few seasons with a Robert Griffin III during the offseason, not fully healing up, when you look at Tony Romo so early on in the season, I think Fitzpatrick was basically waiting to see if one of 32 jobs opened up due to injury. But the best fit for him was always going to be the Jets with what they run, the offense that they run with Chan Gailey, who he's familiar with his time in Buffalo, with the success he had last year, with the personnel that the Jets have in place. I mean, they've got Pro Bowl, all-pro caliber wide receivers and offensive line. To me, Fitzpatrick's only landing place is going to be the Jets. And it's going to come down to money. Now, the Jets, in all likelihood, are going to have to make a move, probably releasing right tackle Bruno Giacomini, which will get them under the cap by about $1.5 million, $2 million or so. It'll be a $4 million cap savings. So that's going to help them with some of the moves that they need to make in terms of being able to accommodate the Ryan Fitzpatrick salary. But right now, it certainly was, I think, the right move for all parties involved, that Fitzpatrick is the perfect fit here in New York. And take one look at social media as soon as Fitzpatrick signed. All those guys were posting about it. They were ecstatic about it. They didn't have the same, warm, fuzzy sort of feeling about Geno Smith returning as starter. I'll tell you that much.
Okay, so what has Geno shown you guys in practice and in the preseason?
He hasn't been a very consistent quarterback. He's always been good in shorts, but he's always been a check down quarterback, one of those guys who makes a safe pass in practice. And I think with the development of Bryce Petty that mm-hmm. we've seen between year one, year two. Jets made him a middle round pick. You know him well from Baylor.
You bet.
This is a young man who has a lot of physical tools, but has some learning he has to do. And the Jets made a second round pick, Christian Hackenberg out of Penn State. The kid is rough. He's raw. But I think that there may not be spot on this roster for Geno Smith.
Metro New York newspaper Christian Dyer has been with us tonight at SB Nation Radio. We are flat out of time. It'll be very interesting to see how the Jets are, where their record is after those first six games. Will they be 1-5 or will they be 5-1? And that only means that we're going to have Christian Dyer back to give us the skinny and the inside. Thanks, Christian.
Always a pleasure, Alyssa. Thank you so much.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way right here at hour number one at SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at the all-new SB Nation Radio. We want to encourage you to check out our website, sbnationradio.com, as, hey, we have got you covered, and this is certainly a very exciting time of the year as we gear up for the start of the 2016 NFL season. Tonight, the New York Jets, they're on the road at Washington in their second preseason game, and joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, always a Big E favorite, that is Christian Dyer, who covers the New York Jets for the Metro New York newspaper. Also, he's an analyst on MSG. Good evening, Christian.
Happy weekend, Alyssa. Happy weekend.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to embrace that. I just want the rain to stay away. So we've just been getting hit really hard down here in Houston. But I know that you're going to bring some sunshine and rainbows. So talk to us about your Jets as we get set for kickoff tonight against the Redskins. What has been the focus for them over the past week? What are they looking to improve upon after that preseason game number one?
Yeah, when you look at this Jets team, I think it's a team still kind of looking for its identity. On the offensive side of the ball, having Ryan Fitzpatrick back was certainly a good thing. Being able to see him going out there, finding the targets. I mean, they have such big names on the offensive side of the ball. When you look at a Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker last year, second-round pick, Devin Smith coming on board and kind of adding a little bit into the slot. But I think it's the defensive side of the ball, which has been the bread and butter of this Jets team for so long, that's still kind of looking to see who they are. They had a big loss this offseason in free agency. Damon Harrison went to the New York Giants. I mean, this was a guy who I think last year was quite frankly robbed of not being a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro selection. He's that good, that dominant in the middle of the defensive line. And Muhammad Wilkerson coming back from a Week 17, a very serious injury that kept him out for most of the offseason. They got him on board with a long-term contract, which was much needed, but he's still not back fully 100%. He may not play this preseason game, this second game. So it's a unit right now that's also without Antonio Cromartie, who's been with them for four of the last 5 years, only leaving two seasons ago for the Arizona Cardinals for a single season. So there are some question marks for the first time in a long time on the defensive side of the ball. And I want to see if this unit can actually come out, gel. We don't see a lot of exotic blitzing or special sub packages in preseason, but is this a unit that looks like it's going to be better than a defense that was expected to be dominant last year, but Alyssa was a little disappointing in 2015?
Okay, Christian Dyer with the Metro New York newspapers joining us tonight at SB Nation Radio. Check us out online at sbnationradio.com. You're listening to the Big E Sports Show. So you're talking about who's gone, who's here with the Jets. So what are overall just the expectations in going into this 2016 season? I mean, are the Jets close? Are they a long ways away from accomplishing their goals?
Well, this time last year, we were talking about a team that was 4-12. Jets fans were just hoping to be relevant, to be 500. In week 17, they went up to Buffalo, win, they're in, they make the playoffs, and they fell flat in what was probably Ryan Fitzpatrick's worst game in his season with the Jets last year. But I certainly think that this is a team closer to being a playoff team than they are to being a team in need of rebuilding. They're veterans. We've talked about Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Nick Mangold on the offensive line, Ryan Clady, who they brought in during the offseason. Defensively, you have a Darrell Revis, a David Harris, who is a very underrated middle linebacker, Muhammad Wilkerson, Sheldon Richardson, who's a Pro Bowl caliber defensive end. I mean, they've got a lot of names. What they also have is a brutal first 7-8 games to start the year. I mean, this is a team that is going to struggle to even have maybe 3 wins by week 7, I think. That's how tough it is when you look at the fact that they're playing at Arizona, that they're playing a slate of difficult games, and they don't even have the Tom Brady-less New England Patriots in the first 4 weeks like they usually do. So they can't even line up an easy win against their AFC East rival. So it is going to be tough for the Jets, I think, to be playoff contenders this year if they don't handle things and take care of things in the first 6 to 7 weeks of the year, which to me, quite frankly, is a very low threshold. If they're 500 by the time week 8 rolls around, I think this could be a playoff team, something we haven't been able to say about the Jets since 2010.
Okay, so do you hold the belief that Ryan Fitzpatrick can duplicate the type of season that he had last year with 31 touchdowns?
Well, he might have a better offensive line than he had last year. DeBrickashaw Ferguson has retired, but will probably be a member of the Jets' Ring of Honor. But last year, he was a revolving door at left tackle, really struggled with the edge rush. So I think when you're looking at where the Jets are right now as an offensive line, they'll be improved. The talent they have at their disposal as well. We've mentioned now Brandon Marshall how many times this interview. I think we're at 3. Decker as well. Devin Smith. He has some really good talent at his disposal. He also has third-year tight end Jason Morrow, who was out for the entirety of last year with an injury. He's not going to be a Rob Gronkowski, but this guy has some potential to be a good, solid receiving tight end in the NFL. The potential is there, I think, for Ryan Fitzpatrick to throw for over 4,000 yards and to have something similar to 31 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, which he had last year. All the pieces are there, and Fitzpatrick, the most cerebral quarterback in the NFL, has no issues at all with ball placement and accuracy. So I don't think the offense is going to be the question mark for the Jets this year. It's going to be the defense.
Hey, we're talking about the New York Jets with Metro New York newspaper Christian Dyer right here at SB Nation Radio. Only a few more minutes. Talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick, why do you think his contract dispute, why it dragged on for so long? And also, I mean, were you a bit concerned, having some anxiety that perhaps he might not re-sign with the Jets?
Well, what other options did Ryan Fitzpatrick have by, early June? I think it became clear that it was going to be the Jets, or he was going to sit out and wait and see if a starting quarterback position opened up due to injury. When you look at what's happened in the past few seasons with a Robert Griffin III during the offseason, not fully healing up, when you look at Tony Romo so early on in the season, I think Fitzpatrick was basically waiting to see if one of 32 jobs opened up due to injury. But the best fit for him was always going to be the Jets with what they run, the offense that they run with Chan Gailey, who he's familiar with his time in Buffalo, with the success he had last year, with the personnel that the Jets have in place. I mean, they've got Pro Bowl, all-pro caliber wide receivers and offensive line. To me, Fitzpatrick's only landing place is going to be the Jets. And it's going to come down to money. Now, the Jets, in all likelihood, are going to have to make a move, probably releasing right tackle Bruno Giacomini, which will get them under the cap by about $1.5 million, $2 million or so. It'll be a $4 million cap savings. So that's going to help them with some of the moves that they need to make in terms of being able to accommodate the Ryan Fitzpatrick salary. But right now, it certainly was, I think, the right move for all parties involved, that Fitzpatrick is the perfect fit here in New York. And take one look at social media as soon as Fitzpatrick signed. All those guys were posting about it. They were ecstatic about it. They didn't have the same, warm, fuzzy sort of feeling about Geno Smith returning as starter. I'll tell you that much.
Okay, so what has Geno shown you guys in practice and in the preseason?
He hasn't been a very consistent quarterback. He's always been good in shorts, but he's always been a check-down quarterback, one of those guys who makes the safe pass in practice. And I think with the development of Bryce Petty that was seen between year one, year two, Jets made him a middle-round pick. You know him well from Baylor.
You bet.
This is a young man who has a lot of physical tools, but has some learning he has to do. And the Jets made a second-round pick, Christian Hackenberg out of Penn State. The kid is rough. He's raw. But I think that there may not be spot on this roster for Geno Smith.
Metro New York newspaper Christian Dyer has been with us tonight at SB Nation Radio. We are flat out of time. It'll be very interesting to see how the Jets are, where their record is after those first 6 games. Will they be 1-5 or will they be 5-1? And that only means that we're going to have Christian Dyer back to give us the skinny and the inside. Thanks, Christian.
Always a pleasure, Alyssa. Thank you so much.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way right here at hour number one at SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, I want to welcome you back to the all-new SB Nation Radio. All of our interviews tonight are being brought to you by our good friends at Progressive Insurance. Call or click today and find out what you can save. It is, as promised, it is time for an update on the Houston Astros, and we have invited on the program this evening Astros beat writer since 2004. That is Brian McTaggart. He's a reporter for MLB.com, and he does it all. He's a hybrid. The author of his brand new book, 100 Things Astro Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Thank you for joining us, Brian, on this Friday night.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, we are very anxious to get your thoughts on the Astros because I tell you what, they're giving me a lot of anxiety, a lot of ups and downs this season, and here we are in the middle of August. What's your perception of the Astros and the direction that they're headed? I mean, because they've been battling through a very difficult stretch.
Yeah, they got off to that terrible start, and then for two months they played some terrific baseball, some of the best baseball in the league. But in the last two or three weeks or so, they've really struggled and struggled to put wins together, and they've really slipped to the point now to where they're 9.5 games out in the standings. They're slipping in the wild card. They're now chasing three or four teams for the second wild card. So they put themselves on a tough spot. It's not that they can't get it done, but just 3 weeks ago they were 2.5 games out in the division, and here 3 weeks later they're pretty much out of the division. So it's been a bad spell, but they're going to have to turn it around and turn it around quickly against a schedule that's going to be not very forgiving.
Okay, so Brian, so how do they turn it around? Can you pinpoint that for us? Because help us understand why they have struggled as of late.
Yeah, well, offensively, that's where their problems go. When they're hitting the ball, their pitching's been pretty consistent all year, not eye-popping, but it's been getting the job done. So they're going to have to score some runs. There's too many holes in the bottom of the batting order. Yulieski Gurriel, Cuban free agent, they signed a month ago. He could be here within the next week or so, and he could help. Luis Valbuena could return from injury. So there's two impact bats you could add to the lineup. But they just need some guys to step up. They need to score some runs. And they just got to see if they have one good finishing kick left in them.
Okay, Brian McTaggart, Astros beat writer with MLB.com, the author of 100 Things Astro Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, is joining us this evening at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We were just highlighting and talking about some of the struggles that the Astros have had, what has gone wrong. But tell us, let's be positive. I mean, what has gone right? What is, essentially, what's keeping the Astros season still alive?
Well, probably look at pitching. I mean, the bullpen has been pretty darn good all year. They've had a few hiccups lately, but for the most part, the bullpen's gotten the job done. And up until about the last week or so, the starting rotation was in pretty good shape. You got some guys now that are coming off starts where they didn't get, past the fourth or fifth inning. So, like anything else, it's going to come down to pitching. You got to be able to pitch it. But, their offense has been hit or miss all season. And, they had stretch. They had a 2 week stretch there where they, I think, averaged like 2.2 runs a game, and that was really tough. That puts a lot of pressure on your starting rotation and your bullpen. Mm-hmm. If they can just get those bats going, they got a shot here to get back in this thing.
Brian, what is your belief? I mean, do the Astros have enough time to still win the division? I mean, can they catch the Rangers?
Yeah, I really don't see it. I mean, they're 9.5 out with 42 games left. That's a pretty tall task to try to run down the Rangers. You only have six head-to-head meetings against them too. So now you're looking at probably sweeping them twice and then getting some other help along the way. And the Rangers just look like they're a team of destiny at this point. They with all the one-run wins they have. So it's going to come down to the wild card. But again, they're chasing four or five teams in the wild card, and they're all playing each other, and they're beating each other up. And you might gain ground on Baltimore one night, but then lose ground to Boston. So they put themselves in a very difficult spot, but I'd be shocked if they're able to rally and get in the division at this point.
Astros beat writer with MLB.com. You're listening to the voice of Brian McTaggart, also the author of his new book, 100 Things Astro Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. I promise we're going to hit on that here in a moment. Just give us a quick hit, though, on Jose Altuve, because on Tuesday night, he collects three hits on the evening and his 1,000th in his career. And I know the Astros, they lost against the Cardinals, but his impressive night, it was his historic night, I should say, was spoiled, but what a season he has had.
Yeah, he's had a terrific year. He's had an MVP-type year. I think he's probably the front runner for the most valuable player at this point. you know, leading the league, and he leads the American League in batting average by about 50 points, which is absolutely stunning, and leads the league in hits, and he's second in slugging, which is amazing from a 5'6" guy. So he's done a little of everything. Quickest Astros player ever to get 1,000 hits. One of the quickest in history to get 1,000 hits in only, I think, it's 786 games. So he's doing some really incredible things. But unfortunately for the Astros, it's either Jose Altuve, George Springer, Carlos Correa, and then it really drops off after that. Those three guys don't have a lot of help at this point. So while the accolades for Altuve are very nice, I'm sure he would trade it in for some more wins at this point.
Okay, Brian, my final question for you is, give us a hit on your brand new book, 100 Things Astro Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die.
Yeah, the book has been out since April, and I've been doing some book signings around Houston and some parts of Texas, and it's basically an encyclopedia of Astros history from the beginning of the franchise, how it was founded, and documents some of the great characters and players and moments and games and franchise history, and sort of an easy to read function. So, yeah, it's available in Barnes & Noble stores around Houston. It's also on Amazon.com, so anybody anywhere can get a hold of it, and I think Astros fans, new or old, will enjoy it.
Uh-huh. It is a fun read, and of course, a heartfelt forward from National Baseball Hall of Fame member and former Astros star in Craig Biggio. Listen, Brian, congratulations on the book, and we look forward to our next conversation, and hopefully the Astros are going to start trending in the right direction, okay?
Okay, we'll see.
Sounds good. Fingers crossed. Much more coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.